Welcome to Boss Barrel Radio. Hey, John.
Hey, Griff.
Hey.
Hey.
Boss Barrel Radio for the week of, what is, September 2211? 2211?
Did you say September?
I don't know, months, man. They all sound the same.
September is way later than
I have major issues with January and July. Those are very similar sounding months.
Sort of. I have problems with June and July.
Really?
There's J-U stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, different. July is just like a longer. See, I just did it right there. January is like a longer July.
Yeah.
July, I think, is deceptive too because it's only four letters and it sounds way longer than that.
Yeah, it does. It does. Also, you know, it's Groundhog's Day today.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, how did that turn out for us?
I don't know. I didn't watch the news.
It's Groundhog's Day.
Groundhog's Day is like a very BS day.
It's just an excuse for every television station to play Groundhog's Day.
Yeah. Yeah,
I would hope
which is fantastic.
That's
film,
what I would use.
So I just feel like halfway through this podcast, we need to just copy and paste. we go on the break, and then we just when we come back from the break,
it doesn't really work if you say it right now.
Yeah, we cut this out in editing.
Okay, editing. Right, good one, John.
That or our listeners forget, which is highly likely.
Sounds good to me. So no Ryan this week. He's at work. I think we'll have plenty to talk about between the two of us besides the big NGP news, PlayStation's NGP, news that we were waiting, sitting on last week.
Buddy,
we got some stuff to talk about.
We do.
Video games.
Excitement.
Playing anything, John?
I've been playing more Dead Space.
Me too. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm done now.
Done so. Yeah, you're done.
Done Space.
Frustrating my way through that shenanigans. Uh-huh. It's a good game. I just can be frustrating.
Oh, yeah.
I finally decided to start using four guns instead of the three. Bad decision on my part.
Really? Why?
I picked the wrong gun. That's probably why.
What'd you pick? Like the flamethrower?
No. Well, that might have been a better decision. I picked the proximity mine gun.
I feel like that was always the solution that I never chose, where I would get stuck in the combat puzzle, and I was like, you know, it'd be great if I could just throw a couple mines over there.
Yeah, but the thing I didn't account for is, and it straight up tells me this, too, that the blast radius on those proximity mines is huge, big enough so that they fuck me up every time.
Oh.
I would have to put them in the complete opposite corner, which doesn't do me a whole
lot.
Dude,
just make a trap. You just box yourself in.
That's what I tried to do, but the blast radius is so large that it hits me.
Huh.
I caged myself in with proximity mines, and it still was just boom, blows up all of them, and then I killed two of them, and now I'm on my back getting up, reeling from this blast.
Yeah. I guess with the tight corridors, it'd be difficult.
Yeah.
Not a lot of movement.
I'm only speaking specifically of the part that I'm in where I'm in that elevator.
Oh, okay.
And I don't have a lot of wiggle room. Now the proximity mine is good if I'm I'm very paranoid and I don't want things to sneak up on me. So I'm going to lay this here and then continue down this hallway because that game likes to do that to you.
I actually found that this one, compared to the last one, has a lot less of that annoying Dead Space 1. Enemy pops out of grate in front of you, and then you just immediately turn around to shoot the guy that silently came out of the grate behind you.
Yeah.
A lot less of that.
Really?
I feel totally.
This is still very prevalent.
I do not have that issue of, you see the dude in front of you, and then you just have to turn around to deal with the guy behind you. Mm. I feel like it's opened up a little bit more that you can kind of wheel around, navigate your way around the boxes a little better.
Yeah. Oh, that game is good. I like it so far.
Mm-hmm.
I really like some of the other characters that you meet. I think, I don't know, the dislocated interactions with some of them, kind of interesting.
Oh, yeah.
There's the chick and the other guy.
Yes, yeah. Did I tell you this? I was telling Ryan, it kind of reminds me of Half-Life, or was I telling... No, I was telling you this.
No, you were telling me that.
Where it has this Half-Life feel where everybody treats you like a genius.
Feel like you're a genius, or you're worth something.
Or you're some super badass and genius at the same time.
Yeah. Well, I feel like the second...
I'm an engineer.
I feel like the second girl you meet kind of kind of pisses in your Cheerios in that way, though, because she doesn't necessarily like you, but she doesn't hate you either. She doesn't really know Isaac. And like when he mentions that he's an engineer, she just straight up calls him a nerd. Mm-hmm. But that's also because she could be played by a Latino actress that always plays the very butch cop.
Anna Lucia.
Yes, Anna Lucia. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think also the other thing that made me think of that is the kinesis puzzles,
mm-hmm.
where you're like substitute the gravity gun for kinesis.
Right.
Like, it's like, oh, look at that. You can pick anything up and use it as a weapon.
Mm-hmm. So I've been on this kick, and if the trophy does not exist for this, I'm going to be very disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
As I was going through certain parts of that game, you could pick up squeegee mops with your kinesis.
Okay.
And you can fire them like spears.
Okay.
I've been trying very hard to kill something with a mop.
Hmm. There's no trophy for that.
What?
There's no trophy for that.
Why? Why does this not exist? If it's in flippin' Assassin's Creed to beat somebody to death with a broom, why?
Different publishers.
Why is there no trophy for, like, you just call it cleaning house, and you use squeegee mop to stab dude in the head. Like, there's so many like impalement trophies in that game. There's like just flipping, give me the opportunity to do
Speaking of trophies and challenges in that game, do you find that new little mechanic they introduced to you right in the beginning of the game and then never really shows up again very useful? The airlocks. You'll run into certain rooms and you can shoot out the window and then gets sucked out of that.
I felt like that wasn't really like a... I didn't really feel like that was a beneficial mechanic so much as it was like a... Just like a... It just happens to be there for the sake of being another like aggravating thing that they could put in your way.
Gotcha.
I was dumb enough that like I had killed a necromorph and his body fell really close to the glass.
Uh-huh.
And I went to stomp on him to get something out of it, broke the glass, and I died.
Really?
And there are several death animations for going through those things.
Like,
door decides to close on its own halfway through you going through it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh,
I just don't like their... Like, whoever was the genius in that space world who designed the you have to hit the triangle switch above the door to close the door.
Mm-hmm.
That is stupid.
It is stupid.
There is no way I could ever shut those doors unless I was clear across the room.
Right.
And then got lucky.
Right. Exactly. Where, like, why isn't it on a wall somewhere? Like let's, speaking realistically, like, if that were to happen in a civil, like, in a non-horror weapon kind of way,
mm-hmm.
who's going to hit that button?
Nobody.
No one.
Not a single person.
No one.
You may get some debris that clinks off it, or you know.
Somebody randomly picks up a snow globe and chucks it at
somebody's head.
Yeah,
hits it on their way out.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that is not a practical place to put the panic button. Put it on the left or the right side of the door, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. That might make more sense, but still, you got to get really close to that suction.
I don't see why you don't put it on the floor in front of the door.
Yeah.
So it's like as you're sliding across the floor, you can take a swipe at it.
Yeah.
Like,
why isn't
Star Trek have a thing like this? Like the recent movie, wasn't there a scene?
Maybe.
Maybe I'm just imagining this. Where
could be. I've got it on Blu-ray now.
Okay.
I could watch it.
Dude has to pull some lever to close. Some
yeah.
Doors,
like
so, I don't know.
Like I don't know. I just feel like there are better ways to have a panic.
Maybe
button.
It was Mass Effect 2. Who knows?
Could be.
Who fucking knows at this point? It all
like,
science fiction blends
there
in my head.
There have to be better ways to have a panic button for that thing. Uh-huh. Like instead of like that, this little thing at the top of the window, mm-hmm. and you have to shoot that. Why isn't it maybe like something comes up out of the ground,
mm-hmm.
and it's like a triangle that you have to shoot?
Sure,
like that makes more sense.
I mean the thing that I just took note of is like this is a new thing in the game. Like you're not in the Ishimura, you're in the sprawl, so you can get sucked out of the airlock, and that's kind of cool. And they set you up in that one setting where, like, something blows up and the window goes out and you have to shoot the dot.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, shoot the triangle thing, right?
Yeah.
Did that right away, no problem. And then there are only maybe two or three more occasions where I would actively see a window that I could blow out. And I tried to do it on all of them, and I would do it, and I would suck, like, two dudes out, but it would take me, like, three or four tries to get it once.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little frustrating. Not that it was a necessary thing, but I wanted to use it more.
It's an interesting thing. It's kind of cool for the, like, fuck it, I don't want to deal with these dudes, and just break that glass and then shoot that thing.
Yeah.
What was something else in that game?
Do you think the enemies are significantly different? Not just type, but how you deal with them? Like, are they harder?
I feel like they're a little rougher than the first one.
Yeah.
I feel like they are. I feel like it wasn't until way late in Dead Space 1 that you started seeing these, like, more advanced black necromorphs.
I don't even remember those from Dead Space 1.
They were in there. They had, like, crazy glaring red eyes, and they were all, like, the black babies and the black dog.
That's what happens
things.
When it hits midnight.
Right. It's like stuff gets redonkulous in midnight space. Trying to think of something. Oh, what do you think about the new zero gravity stuff?
Oh, the booster suit. That's good point.
Improvement.
I didn't mind it before.
Neither did
bouncing
I.
Bouncing around. But I think it's cool. Like, I like the boost suit. I think it's pretty fun.
Yeah. Because, I mean, technically, if you really wanted to, you could play that entirely the same way as you did previously. You could just jet over to one other side of the wall and walk around if you wanted to. But. Mm-hmm. But then you wouldn't be able to turn yourself upside down and go all crazy and then not know where the ground is.
You know what I really enjoy, though? Not having combat in those sections. Or at least, like, it being cut down to maybe a one-time occurrence.
Yeah, that is the thing that makes it weird. It's like, now that you're active, free-floating in the air, and you can do the same stuff, you're just now in this weird 360-degree playing field.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot upside down at crazy shit.
Does the reorient yourself button kind of make you nauseous every once in a while?
No, I close my eyes when I push it.
Oh, man. Every once in a while, I'll flick it and I'll just kind of get that little sink in my stomach. It's like, woo, okay.
You want to make yourself sick? Try to do
play Ilo Milo?
Try to do the find objective thing while you're upside down floating around.
Oh, God.
Because the camera likes to point you at the way the objective is.
Which is a good thing, too. I like that.
It is a good thing. But when you're floating around all upside down, it has a hard time understanding how it needs to do that. So when you do it, the camera's like, well, the ground level is above your head. So it, like, flips it all around and then points you in the direction. You're like, oh, God. Wow. Oh.
I just took a 2G turn right there in my brain.
That's a little weird.
How do you feel? Okay, so I can tell major differences between this one and the first one. And one of the biggest things that stands out is just the horror aspects, like the survival horror aspects of it. I don't really feel like I'm having to conserve a lot of ammo. I don't really feel like I'm doing a lot of inventory management. And I don't really feel like there's the... Like, I feel like it's shifted more towards atmosphere and less towards, like, game horror side. Yeah,
so far there's only been, like, a couple instances where I'm like, I am low on health, I am low on ammo, I am fucked.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like things are a little bit more graciously
I've got
handed
4
out.
Ruby semiconductors, but I really need some bullets.
Yeah. It's like, if I could just throw these at people, that'd be great.
Well, that's the other thing, is, like, you realize, like, oh, I can. Like, I have infinite ammo I'll just throw this space mop at a guy.
Yeah, with your stasis thing, like, if you're good enough with that thing, you, like, bang, just hit things in the face with things.
Or at a point later in the game, like, what I just started trying to do was there was, like, an audio log or a text log or something that was, like, you can use their claws fight them. So I would kill something, I would, like, dismember one arm, and then it would still be in stasis, so I grab its arm that's floating in stasis and throw it back at the dude, and I was like, okay, so just save 2 shots there.
Yep. That's eventually when I noticed, like, oh, they have all of these weird little, like, beacon poles hanging around all over the place. Mm-hmm. I just pick those up and carry those down hallways. Dude jumps out of something, bam.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't want to deal with you. Or
I like
I've been
being
doing
able
that.
To reload while I'm moving, running.
Oh, can you do that?
I don't run.
I don't run a lot. I walk very, very carefully.
I run a lot in that game. I also felt like about maybe 2 hours into, like, after I talked with you guys last week on the podcast, I played for it maybe another hour, and then it finally, something just kind of snapped, and I was like, I don't feel the unease that I felt with Dead Space 1.
Yeah, good bring up,
except for the point where I talked to you, like, in chapter, what was it, 10, at that section of the game where nothing seems to happen for way too long.
There are definitely parts where it's like, okay, now they're bringing the horror back into it, but it's like, at some point, all of the scary things that they can do. Like there's the elementary school, like it's like a daycare elementary school place that you go through. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, that was unsettling.
Really? I didn't really.
That was a little.
I didn't have the feeling. I thought that thing was ridiculous, especially with the enemies there. And then there was the scene where he had the like mental freak out that was straight out of Fear 2, where mm-hmm. all the lockers just pop open. And
you're yeah, like, I saw that too. I was like, was that Fear 2 or Fear 1?
Fear 2.
Oh.
The demo of Fear 2 was
well,
that.
They even did something like that in Singularity, where it's just like this, it's like, if you're going to go into a school, lockers got to blow open. It just has to happen.
Well, we got this hallway of lockers. We may as well do something with them.
What are we going to do?
We already have an animation for them, too.
You don't just make confetti pop out of them. They got to creepily open, and they got to be creepily shut at some point. It's bizarre is what it's got to be.
But I had a really good time with Dead Space 2 compared to 1. And yeah. Even just as a game itself, I really enjoyed it. I tried to play a little multiplayer, couldn't find a match, and then I was like, yep, nope, done. Nope. Back in the mail.
Man.
Considered doing some trophy hunting, but you can't chapter select. So I was lame. That goes out the window too.
Lame. I think one more thing I want to say about Dead Space that I think they're doing better in this one than in the first one, and albeit the first one was really good at having a somewhat cinematic element that really made you feel how jarred and how banged around mm-hmm. Isaac would get. I think they do a lot better job of it in this one. Like some of that stuff where he's just getting ripped and thrown around, like through some of their cinematic stuff where like a helicopter that blows those windows open. And he's like grabbing onto a railing and then like reaching in and climbing through an air duct and then falling through it.
In that trailer that they released. Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, about all that, like, there are, I'll talk to you more when we're not recording, but sure. there's moments in that game where Isaac should be dead.
Right. I'm like, after that, I would allow this game to just give me a red stasis bar.
Yeah.
Like, Isaac should get, like, he's getting the shit knocked out of him in some of that stuff.
Or there is one moment, like, right before you enter into one of the last chapters in the game, like, it just cuts to black, and it's like, and then you wake up and he's like, oh man, that hurt.
What?
Yeah. And you're like, you've done a really good job so far impressing upon me how much like dirt Isaac can eat before he like really says how uncomfortable that was. And the one moment when Isaac exclaims that this fucking sucks,
I don't get to see it.
But you know, I really enjoyed like the Isaac speech stuff, his interaction with other people, like him being able to talk and make.
Yeah, like, I don't think his character is all that compelling or interesting.
No.
But I think the voice acting is good enough that like,
he conveys what you're thinking at the time where you're like, right. Yeah, I've done this before, bitch.
So I think he's still good enough as a character that is a silent protagonist that has a voice.
Mm-hmm.
He's a dialogued silent protagonist now.
Yeah.
And he says pretty much the stuff that I would be thinking.
Yeah. It's very simple. Yeah. There are some interactions later in the game where he does a little bit more talking, but it's still like it removes you from him enough that you're like, okay, now I'm learning a little bit more about Isaac, but I still really don't care.
Right.
And let's just go in and stomp on stuff.
And I think they're intentionally doing it. Like, I think they're not trying to, like, build him into anything special. Uh-huh. I think he's Isaac Clarke, and that's all. Like, that isn't necessarily anybody special. I think that was their point with the first one.
No, I don't think so. I think really? The first one, people latched onto Isaac Clarke as, like, the next Gordon Freeman of like, what is so amazing about this dude.
That doesn't say anything.
That doesn't do anything. Like, yeah. The only thing this guy is doing is being you and being a space janitor and mopping stuff up on this space boat.
So who is the better Gordon Freeman? Is it Isaac Clarke?
Who is a better Gordon Freeman? Is it
Master Chief?
I don't know. We'll have to wait. See if Dead Space 3 comes out first or episode 3, Half-Life 2 episode 3.
Yeah, who has more games?
Crossover.
Oh.
That's actually going to be the next two characters. You want to answer that question? Next two characters, Marvel vs. Capcom 3. Gordon Freeman and Isaac Clarke fight to the death. Speaking of which, I was watching a video today, and I'm probably going to watch more either over the next week because they're freaking hilarious. But look up Death Battle.
Death Battle? Okay.
Yeah. the two that I watched were Mike Hagar and versus Zangief. And they do it like a Deadliest Warrior style breakdown where they're like, Mike Hagar is trained in Scottish style back wrestling. And, you know, he has these moves and they give like, it's really actually cool. Like I really, it could be done in a really stupid way. And it is a little bit, but it's campy and fun enough that it's actually really cool. So they'll like introduce the two people, give their backstory, give like their moves and abilities in a really brief way. And then they'll have them fight in like a simulated fight. So the two of them, two sprites will go at it and then they'll have the victor. And then the two announcers will discuss like why it ended up like this. They're like, oh, you know, Zangief is 100 more pounds than Mike Hagar, and Mike Hagar is, you know, wrestle sharks.
Sure. So it's just like Deadliest Warrior.
It is a lot like, but it's so well done because the two dudes who narrate it are just...
I've watched enough Deadliest Warrior.
It's that, but it's also like just a real love for video game characters too, where it's not like Deadliest Warrior, where it's like Navy SEALs rock.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. You know, it's much more cemented in the video game world than like, you know, Deadliest Warrior is kind of contrived.
Sure.
But yeah, what was it called? Death Battle. Death Battle is really good.
Okay. Look into that.
Yeah.
I played, aside from Dead Space, I played Dead Space Extraction.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Comes with your Blu-ray copy.
Comes with your PS3 Blu-ray copy. That's good.
Good?
It's good.
You played it with the Move?
I played it with the Move. That's fine. My only problem with that is that the Move is really twitchy.
Oh, yeah.
For a rail car shooter game. It was really twitchy.
Not good.
It's fine. It's fine. It's completely accurate. It's just like it's accurate so much that it can detect every little, like, I haven't eaten in 4 hours, so I'm kind of. But it's good in that it is telling its own, like, if you want to know more about some stuff that happened during this Dead Space 1.
Not really.
Then this will kind of explain how stuff started. And they use some of the same locations that you visit in Dead Space 1, or at least so far. I've only played 2 chapters. So.
Like the navigational bridge?
No, like, okay, so at the end of Dead Space 1, you take the marker out on these rails have it destroyed. Uh-huh. Beginning of Dead Space Extraction is you taking the marker on those same rails into that little station that it's
right.
on.
It's like simultaneously happening with Dead Space 1, or this, is it like a prologue?
This would have been like how everything on the Ishimura got started.
Okay.
Like they're the ones that triggered this marker. They're the ones that unearthed it. And so it's like
basic, black marker.
Right. It's basically a lot of stuff leading up to Dead Space.
Got it.
Which is kind of cool.
Right. What else you got?
The only other thing is Game Dev Story came out for Android, and I've been playing that. And I realized for the first few hours that game is really good, up until the point where you're making really awesome games, and that's all you can do.
Yep.
Like, I got to the point where it's like, I could combine any two things I wanted to, and I have such a crackpot team that we could make you believe that Baby Alien Robot RPG would be the best game you'll ever play.
Sure. Did you find out a way to name it, or is that still a weird thing?
That's probably
the best part about it too.
Right, I know. It's like I could name it whatever the hell I want to, but apparently I'm missing something. I tried looking all over through like comments and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody mentions anything at all about not being able to name their game, and I'm just like,
oh, maybe. I should probably take a look at it. Maybe you are not even able to name it until it gets released, like until it's like. We're submitting, you know, the final thing for the last game, or for in the last steps, maybe.
Like during the debugging or something?
Yeah. Like if it gives you one more menu option. I'll pull up my iPod and see where I can do it there.
Sure. Because that's really bugging me, because I've released like 27 games now, and they're all just game pound 2-7.
Yeah.
Or if I have a sequel, I have like 3 different sequels in there. They're just game pound 183.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Fantastic. I'm glad Game 27 just sold 8 million copies. Man. I know. That's what I've been thinking. Like all my sequels are just like the next 10-2 and the next 13-2.
Yeah.
And just crap. People eat it up every time I put one out.
Just like Final Fantasy.
Doesn't matter what I make it about. People are just going to eat it up. And last game I made sold like 8 or 9 million copies. Yeah. Or no, it was like 10 million copies. It's fucking outrageous.
Mm-hmm. Equestrian tower-based defense.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. No, and some of them are on there like so ridiculous that I'm like, I kind of wonder what a fitness RPG online like.
I'm kind of intrigued. Like,
what would people really buy a fitness MMO? I don't know.
I think it's called a gym membership.
Yeah.
<that's>, Nobody
that's,
plays.
That's called gold gym membership. You just go in there and there it is. Only you,
working
only,
on your virtual you, avatar.
Only they just don't have like a live updating leaderboard. Which that's the direction you go with now as Gold's Gym. You
oh man, that dude's totally a level 70 bench presser.
Right. See? That's all it is. So I just don't know what else to do with that game at this point. I'm just like, and I'm done. Because I can pick whatever I want to and it'll always be top of the charts, Hall of Fame. I don't have a hard time.
The only thing I wanted to do is just kind of go through the console cycle. Like I did, I think I stopped around the same time you did, and I wanted to kind of see it through all the way to the end.
And it's
year 20.
At the beginning, it was just like boom, okay, you've amassed enough money to move into a new office, and now you can have more people on your staff. And then it's like after the third iteration of that, it's like, okay, so.
So like everybody's level 9 now.
So
and,
the moral of this game is that being a game developer is not as exciting as I think it is.
The thing that killed me about that game was like the first guy that was on your team, you know, you eventually have to fire that guy.
Yeah, that is the bummer of the thing too.
You're like, this guy was like the founder of the company and he
it was me and my secretary and two other dudes.
Yeah.
And I gotta fire you guys.
And Bob Smart was the guy there on day one who was, you know, coding this shit.
Yeah.
And now we gotta kick him out because he didn't produce enough pencil bubbles.
Right. It's and yeah, that was my thing. It's just like I have to fire these guys because I'm sorry. I originally hired you on because you seem like a fun and cool guy, but I need somebody with a college degree.
Yeah.
Like who can write better robot penguin RPG games.
Mm-hmm. No, I know. I need that. It's a heartbreaker, man.
And you don't know how to write, so I gotta let you go.
Uh-huh.
And then that was the other bummer of the thing that I was talking about. Like I enjoy how realistic that game can be in certain aspects of it, how true to it stays. But then there's certain things like okay, now's the time of the game where we need somebody to like write the musical score for the game. I'm like, okay, cool. Well, I hired a music composer. Oh, but she doesn't want to do it because she did the composition for the music in the last game. Like, what? No. I hired you on. I'm paying you $290,000. Non-American dollars because they're
Zenny.
Their money system in that game is weird, but it's just like you're not gonna work like if you're not gonna work as hard for this, I should just be firing people in rotations. That's what I should be doing.
Well, that's the thing. Like once I hit the point where I was like, okay, now my entire team consists of like one artist and four hackers.
Right,
because
like,
the hacker can do everything better than everybody else.
Yeah, it was like hackers, directors. So, like, I just have to pick people. Like, when I go on hiring sprees, I just have to pick people that have two or three different stats that are over 100.
So you're just rotating through this, like, you're basically just, like, burning these people out mentally. Because you're like, okay, well, now this month you're going to have to just code, okay? And then, okay, well, now that you probably got really good at that, we're going to have to make you just draw a bunch
of
things.
And it's just like, imagine how that would be, like, in the real world of like, oh, so you're a coder? How are you with music?
What do you know about composition?
Yeah. Can you write me a story?
Yeah. How? What do you know about dialogue and structuring?
Yeah.
Not really. Not much. See the bars here? See this level number? It means I'm good at these things.
Gosh, that's what a resume should be. A resume should just really be a D&D page.
Yeah, just a bunch of D20 stats.
Yep. Oh, man. I would like to meet the person that has a Dungeons & Dragons resume.
Thinking about re-rolling soon, but, you know, I'll just stick with this build for a while.
Trained in the arts at the University of Phoenix.
All right, what else you've been playing besides Game Dev Story and Dead Spaces?
That's it, pretty much, I think. Yeah, right. Nothing else. I've been playing Don't Update Your PS3.
Oh, speaking of which, that's what I forgot to talk about last week is, you know how that we talked about like the fake updates that can come out? I looked that up before I updated my PlayStation, and it's sanctioned by Sony. They're like, yep, this is us. You can download the firmware. It's fine. So that's your public service announcement. Go ahead and download.
Are they going to do that every time?
Well, they usually are really good about it. Like PlayStation Blog will have a post that just says, so, like, you know, if you're really hardcore concerned about it, just make sure that their update numbers match the one coming.
Just get a feed from PlayStation Blog. Fine. Or just check it every day.
Yeah, I am fine with that.
I noticed that too. I was like, why would I like? Realistically, PlayStation does announce every time they're going to do one of those, or somebody is announcing it. So it's just like, only update it when that is. But the only reason I'm playing this like don't update your PS3 thing is because like updating my PS3 takes so long that I'm just like, you need a new firmware update for your PS3. I'm like, yeah, but I just want to play Dead Space.
Yeah,
so,
I know what you mean.
Really want to do that right now. I don't want to stare at a green bar for an hour.
Yeah. Sparkly. It's sparkly, though.
Well,
just switch it over to the Xbox. Like, that's what I did.
Well, that's what I started. It's like, it was like, you need a firmware update if you want to watch Netflix. I'm like, just watch it on Xbox. And then, but then that's when I realized the interface for Netflix for Xbox, stupid.
Really?
It's the most redundant and just poorly conceived interface for movie watching ever.
Wow.
In opposition to the PlayStations. Like, it's incredibly bizarre. Like, anytime I go to watch a movie on Netflix and it's like, okay, I want to skip through the credits portion of this and just go straight to the juicy bits of the show I'm trying to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I can hit the trigger to fast forward, but then when I hit A, it jumps out of the movie.
What?
I'm like, what is going on here? I just want to watch this crap. And then, like, every time I hit it, it just wants to rebuffer everything and load it again. It does not do that stuff on the PlayStation. I just hit the stick and it moves forward frames and I can make it move forward faster. And then I just hit start and it starts from that.
Do you ever watch, like, disc movies in your Xbox? Is it a thing with the player that's just goofy, or is it a
no, thing? It's completely different play. I suppose they're sort of similar, but I think... No, I don't watch things in my Xbox because, again, I have fucking PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
I would just rather watch things on my PlayStation.
Hmm.
Also, Xbox is really loud.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah, spinning the disc.
Yeah. Hmm. So I just watch things on my PlayStation.
Speaking of Netflix and movie rentals, Matt told me today, my roommate, that Redbox is doing game rentals now.
I did not heard about this.
And he says it's $2 instead of $1, and they have game rentals.
Yeah, well, I wanna read up on this.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just hearsay, but that's
so
cool.
So the Redbox thing is you rent for $1 a movie
a day,
and then after that they are billing you $1 a day,
right?
So what is it for games?
$2.
$2 for a day.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
A trick?
Because it's like nobody's gonna play a game and be done with it in a day.
It could be NBA Jam.
Okay, fair enough. It could be NBA Jam.
Mm-hmm.
It could also be Portal.
Yeah, true. It could be
a really great game that you can effectively actually hammer out in a day.
Mm-hmm.
But typical games are going to be...
World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
Rent it.
What?
I give World of Warcraft...
Why not add another $2 to the price if you're already playing for World of Warcraft?
I say rent it.
Well, that 30-day trial, at that point, you'd only be spending $60.
Hell yeah, man. That's a steal right there.
Crazy talk. But does it come with the expansions, too?
I don't know. 25 cents for each one.
Crazy. But no, I don't know.
I don't know. Just something you mentioned that sounds kind of cool in a...
It'd be kind of
bizarre
cool,
way.
I guess, yeah.
Like, what if it's only... If it's a $2 rental and then it's $1 a day? It'd be kind of... It wouldn't be too bad.
Yeah,
spending $12 on a week, but still, yeah. I mean, is that over a week?
Okay, but at the same time, like
Blockbuster is cheaper than that, right?
That's what I'm kind of thinking. But like you and me do Gamefly too, which and it's just like
way, way efficient now.
Yeah, it's very efficient.
Dead Space is in the mail, and I think it's already been went out on the mail in the mail on Monday morning, and I think I'm already getting my next game sent to me.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's really really cool. Like I said, I sent Kirby out, and I got Dead Space on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just like, wow, you guys got that to me immediately.
Right. Usually they're really good at having the games pre-mailed. Like I'll get the thing that on Monday morning that's like, hey, we just sent you this game that's coming out on Tuesday. But I was surprised that it was like, they're like, I got an email on Sunday night that was like, we just received Force Unleashed 2. And I was like, how is that possible? This is Sunday night. And then that's when I read up on their barcode scanning thing. So then they mailed out.
That's really, really cool. They sent me an email when I got Dead Space. They're like, did it arrive on Tuesday or on Wednesday? And I'm like,
No. They say Tuesday or Wednesday, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Oh, like, do they?
You get the day of or the day after. Like, it'd be nice if you could tell them, hey, it wasn't Tuesday, it was Wednesday. I got it.
Oh, really? I'm just saying that I think it's the idea that they think that they could actually get it to me the same day that it releases.
Mm-hmm.
Really kind of impressive.
Yeah.
I was totally fine with getting it the day after it released.
I mean, I suppose if we lived closer to a distribution center, it would go from there to the mail to us instead of like from the center in Dallas to like Kansas to Des Moines or whatever. Anyway, we got more games to talk about.
Okay, go.
Bionic Commando Rearm 2. I bought that and I was playing it today.
Oh, yeah.
Did you play Bionic Commando Rearmed?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think I played the demo for it.
Okay. So Bionic Commando Rearmed was a remake of Bionic Commando, the NES / arcade game.
That was like 2008 release?
Yeah. It came out before Bionic Commando.
The next 3D. Generation. The
Bionic Commando.
Dreaded Bionic Commando.
Yeah. I don't
Dreadlock.
Know. Oh, they, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
The next generation console, Bionic Commando.
Wife beater.
Because that came out in, what, May? Maybe? And that was that February? Or did it come out a year before, maybe?
No. I think it came out
09.
Middle of.
Or Bionic Commando was 09. Bionic Commando was 09, Bionic and then was Rearmed was 08, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So anyway, that's a remake of a game and with high polished graphics. And then the company that made it, Fat Shark, or Grin, excuse me, kind of just disappeared because of how poorly Bionic Commando the next gen did,
which is a bummer. Shame.
Yeah, so they're back and they're under the name like Fat Shark, I think.
Fat Shark. Great name.
So they remade this, or they kind of take it to the next step of filling in the story between the original Bionic Commando and Bionic Commando 2, and this time
Brad Spencer
can jump, so you can jump now.
It's exciting.
Yeah, it is. I won't spend too much time on it, but it is everything that a Bionic Commando fan wants, where it's like absurd dialogue, awesome boss fights, action platform puzzles, guns. There's an award for each level for not jumping.
Nice.
Yeah, like it is. It's a $15 game download, and definitely worth every penny. Definitely better than Bionic Commando Rearmed. The only thing that I found really disappointing in it so far has been the music, because the Bionic Commando Rearmed music was freaking phenomenal, and this is just kind of lame. Like, it doesn't have the same drive to it.
So I understand there's a flat top haircut and a mustache.
There is also a dude that looks uncannily like Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He is a Bionic Commando as well.
Oh, what's his bionic power?
Arm. No, legs. Probably, no, bionic elbow. No, it's...
Oh, dude.
It's legs, but it should be elbow.
It's legs?
Yeah.
I feel like they did that in Bionic Commando, though.
They do. There's a...
The bionic lady.
You're with a team with other people with bionic arms and legs.
Nope. Are those the only things that can be bionic?
Apparently.
can't have like bionic head.
Well, I mean, there was Grodor, right? And he had two bionic arms and legs.
Jax.
And legs.
Oh. So.
So like.
Bionic dude.
Yeah. Bionic man.
Just man biotic.
Yeah. I guess they didn't think too far. Like, what else would you want besides bionic arm or bionic legs? Bionic chest.
Your bionic chest.
That sounds just like an iron lung, man.
I don't know at this point. Like bionic neck.
Just no,
stretch that He-Man neck out.
Proved that guy sucks.
Yes, he did. God, what was that guy's name?
Look out. I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's cool though. It has co-op. It has everything that Bionic Commando Rearmed had, and it's great. And it's $15, and I really enjoy playing it.
Cool.
It's also a little easier than Bionic Commando, which is nice. That game is hard. Other games I played Dead Rising 2, the regular game. It was very frustrating.
Did you ever do Case West? No.
No, yeah. No. Not at all. Mm. Yeah, I got this game for cheap, and I'm playing a little bit of it now, and there's a whole hell of a lot of stuff to combine, and I'm getting to the point, just even playing it for like 2 hours, I just want to say, F you, story. I'm going to go make as many cool things
as I can. How good is that story?
It's mystery. I mean, like, it's bad, and the premise is bad, and it's Capcom, though. So, you know, you take that with a group, like, yeah, this is racism and stuff.
Sure.
But it's not that great. The interesting side of it is just, like, you can do it three ways. So the conflict I have is, do I want to play it straight out and I'm just going to follow the main story path and I'm going to forget like all the optional quests and I don't want to save any survivors. I don't want to do any of those things. I'm just going to kind of stick on the straight and narrow and finish it. Or do I want to try and do both and overstretch myself and try and get survivors and kill psychopaths and do the main story too? Or do I want to just say F everything and I'm going to just do my own thing and forget the main story and just like level my dude up by killing zombies for 72 hours.
But see, it's still, so it's timed, right?
Yeah. 3 days.
Three real life days?
I don't know if that it could be.
Cause it's just like, it can't be 72 hours. It can't be 72.
There is a clock that moves. Cause
then that would make sense.
What's up?
If you had seven, like, it's just, this is my problem with Dead Space. It's like, if
Dead Space
or Dead Rising, it's just like, I don't want to be held to a time constraint. Like make it a fakey time constraint and just be like, you have a day to do this, but only give me the clock at like certain parts of the game.
Well, that's what I'm saying is like the fun side of it is kind of balancing between everything. And like, I'm like, okay, well, I can go and try and save this one person, or I can go and try and collect flashlights for more lightsabers or laser swords, or I can just kind of chill and play it safe so I can do the main story. Like, you can't have it all unless you're some sort of Dead Rising savant, which I am not.
I don't know. I want it all. I don't want to have to balance my interests in a video game.
Okay. Well, then, yeah.
Especially a game that like showcases itself as a dick around game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, but that's what I'm saying is like, that's always there. Like you can just opt out of the main story.
I never wanted kids anyway.
Yeah.
Just take off and start stabbing zombies in the head with.
Well, you still have to save the chick, or else that is the one thing you have to maintain.
Okay, so now it's not 72 hours; it's 12 hours, right?
Well, it's 3 days, right? And if I'm not describing this well. You need to get the Zombrex every 24 hours to the dog.
Oh, it's 24 hours. Okay, not
like 24 hours. Sure. So you can find that. While you're just dicking around, like you can buy it at a pawn shop, you can find it and like tucked away somewhere, and then you can bring it to Katie, and then boom, that's done. You have another 24 hours to do nothing. Like that is disassociated from the main story. Like it's just multiple timelines flowing at the same, like multiple objective paths going in the same time stream. It's crazy, man. It doesn't like you. Uh-huh. Anyway, That's enough about Dead Rising 2. I also played Little Big Planet 2 today.
Yeah. How'd that go?
Not really feeling it.
No.
Yep.
You want to play a co-op and see how that goes?
Sure. I mean,
we can try some of those PlayStation Move levels.
Are you downloading it or are you sending it through Gamefly or something?
Huh? No.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm not, but I can bring my Move over.
I'm just going to just throw it in the mail.
How much do you like your Little Big Planet 2?
It's good. Like, it's awesome because it's Little Big Planet, but it's still... Like, I think the novelty is gone for me.
Does it get... That was sort of my worry with it, too, was, like I played Little Big Planet 2, 1, and I bought it, and within a few, I don't know, not even a month, I was just like, yeah, that's a game.
Well, it took me about, I think, almost a year to finish it. Like, I just...
Really?
I got to the last level and I just couldn't beat it. And I would walk away and I'd play online games and stuff like that. And then I would go back and I would try it again and I would just lose. So I kept bouncing back to it over the course of a year. So I never really got fed up with it. But going into this Little Big Planet 2, I have no desire to create my own levels.
Yeah.
So that collection of all the stuff has a lot less meaning. So I'll be running through levels and it's like, you got stickers, you got these items, these contraptions. I'm like, I don't care. What am I going to do with them?
Yeah.
This is junk.
Yeah. I don't know. Like,
it's fun though. Like, yeah, the,
I'm sure it the, hits that niche that some people really are interested in.
It's a great game.
The child in me that would really want to play that game is dead. Probably.
I wouldn't go it. I mean, if I can see what you're saying. Like, the whimsy of it is just, it's kind of hit its peak.
Yeah.
But there's also, like, the first two characters you meet in it are freaking awesome. Like,
wait, the guy with the sunglasses and the weird...
The 3D glasses.
Newspaper beard.
Yeah. Okay. Larry Da Vinci.
Oh, is that what his name is?
Yeah, and then the other guy whose name I forget, who's basically the Captain Quark of the game.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Huh. It's good. I mean, it's well, and all the levels are designed super well, and you don't have that sort of like strings and wires and stuff hanging in the foreground. It's all packed and tucked away, so you don't really see that. And
mm-hmm.
even in the first, like, even in the credits, you see how much the game, it showcases so many things that are done differently that never would have been able to be done in Little Big Planet. I'm weirded out though because it has community X'd out and I can't go to the community. So I'm wondering what is going on with that. Like, why can't I play online levels? Because before I turn it in, I want to play some online, like, user created levels.
Interesting. That's weird. Huh.
Before I send it in, I was just going to look at some achievements, you know, or some trophies on here. So, there are some really interesting ones.
Oh, yeah.
There was one for playing the game before 9 a.m. and playing the game after 9 p.m.
Why?
I don't know. Why not? That thing is kind of wild.
Huh. All right. Pokemon did kind of a similar thing.
Right.
But no trophies, which is like, you can only catch these certain Pokemon at these certain times, or these Pokemon can only evolve at these certain times. And it's like, well, fuck, I'm never awake then.
I don't know. I just thought that was funny. I was like, okay. This is like, yeah. I understand. This is like Animal Crossing. Yeah. All the stores close after 8. You're like, I don't.
We're just like, well, I'm not up at these times.
Play my DS before 8 p.m.
Gosh, I play it fall asleep.
Yeah. So that's really, I think that's all I got this week. I think. I've been playing Borderlands with Hunter, which is totally awesome that he's playing Borderlands because that game is amazing.
I'm sure someday.
You will. Someday. It'll be like a game dev thing where you finally just pick it up and you're like, all right, I'll do it.
Okay, so the thing with game dev, though, is like, it's new to me because it hasn't been out for Android.
No, fair enough.
Whereas Borderlands, I tried that and I did not enjoy that Kool-Aid that everybody else on this planet seems to.
So.
Have a giant, like,
it's so good.
Kool-Aid filled with Viagra boner.
So good.
I got the
RPG shooter.
Yeah.
Diablo style RPG shooter.
Sort of.
Yes. but you don't click.
I don't know. Maybe you'll have to play a co-op with me sometime to for me to really like. I don't know.
Shoot. Get yeah. new guns.
Yeah, I guess that's.
That's cool. I mean, that's about it. If that doesn't sell you, then you're not gonna. Borderlands will never win you over.
I don't know. It just doesn't have enough. I don't know.
The guns are cool.
Something is not grabbing me and compelling me to play that game for
it. Yeah, that's right. It's cel-shaded.
Cel-shading is fine. The visual presence of that game, the mechanics in that game, all fine. I don't think that game is compelling, though.
No, that's fine. The compelling thing about it is, hey, there's more guns.
Right.
There are always right. more guns. Right,
and I love that that game was built on this idea of like, yo, you like guns?
Yes.
We have a lot of guns.
How many?
10 gigatons.
That's not enough anymore.
A million gigatons?
Sounding better.
10 million gigatons.
Sold. As long as I get more in the future, right?
Yeah. Okay. We'll release 10 million more gigatons of guns every expansion pack. How do we make this gun better? Light it on fire.
Yep. I don't know. Put some Kens on it.
Put some spinners on it.
Yeah.
Put a glass harmonica on the end of it.
That would be cool.
So, sure. It makes different whistly sounds when you shoot it.
That would be cool. Yeah, basically
the bullets whistle when you fire.
Well, that's yes and no. It's like instead of a 28.8% accuracy, it's now a 29.2% accuracy.
Yep.
And you're like, boom!
Killing people a little bit more effectively.
Yeah.
The bullets on this one light on fire.
Fight each other.
Oh, yeah. You can just randomly fight each other for loot, right?
Yeah.
Adding a little anarchy into the mix.
On that note, we should
established order.
Take a break from this.
Where the Groundhog's Day thing kicks in.
Yeah, this is where the Groundhog's Day kicks in. We'll be back in a second, take a break, and do our user questions and our news. Because we have news and user questions.
Yeah.
See you soon. Welcome to Boss Bell Radio. It was Groundhog Day thing.
Groundhog
Day. Yeah, so back from break now. I forgot to mention I played Catherine.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Catherine. I downloaded the demo from the Japanese PlayStation Store, and I'll just talk about it really quickly here. It is a weird sort of block-pulling puzzle climber.
I wonder if the whole game is that way, though.
Well, no, because I think that's just like the dream sequences, right. And then when you're out of them, you're interacting in this bar, which is your sort of like hub,
right?
Interacting with people and sending text messages, and
cell phone stuff, right?
That and you're also like talking with people there, and there's an arcade machine where you play the same thing you play in your dreams.
Yeah, keyboard.
Yeah, it's like a weird keyboard thing. But yeah, I don't know. If you don't have... creating a Japanese PlayStation account is not difficult. You should try it.
Try it sometime.
Try it. Liberating. And get Catherine. Hope that game comes out here, because it'll be really weird.
Yeah, dude.
And it looks like... It looks cool.
Look good. Like, Atlas is doing some pretty awesome stuff.
I would really like to see that game made into a Persona game. Like, that engine... As Persona.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying. The
like, I want Persona 5 as the real Persona.
The build of what that game is.
Yeah.
Used in Persona 5.
The engine of that really good-looking kind of anime.
Like, it's like two steps away from being just straight-up anime at that point.
Yeah.
Pretty close, too.
It does look really good.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's not too much to talk about that game, that demo, because it's all in Japanese, too, so I don't know what was happening.
No idea.
Yeah, use the circle button to confirm, X button to deny. Yeah,
hasn't been that way since
PlayStation
Metal Gear.
Yeah, PlayStation 1.
PlayStation 2 Metal Gear stuff was that
true,
way.
True, yeah.
Was Metal Gear Solid 4 that way too?
No.
Did they fix that?
It was switched.
Will be nice.
We got you this
time.
Fine. I wonder, was 3 that way?
I don't, maybe not. I know 2 definitely was that way.
Okay.
Because I had a lot of people that would always come to me, like, this game's broken. It always says, like, it always has, it says,
I keep going back to the title screen.
It
says
hit start, and then it always, anytime I hit X, it just goes right back to the title screen. I'm like, hit circle.
There you go.
Try it.
There you go.
Try it. Try it. And then I explained to him it's a Japanese game, and in Japan, circle is confirmed. Mm. X is back. It makes no sense.
No, it makes perfect sense.
Does it?
Yeah. Because X is like no.
Like when I, well, right, but when I lay my fingers across that.
Yeah, but I feel like when I was playing Final Fantasy Tactics on PlayStation, circle was always yes, and that felt fine. Just like A was yes on Nintendo, like Super Nintendo games. And I was in the same spot as the circle button.
It wasn't A. A wasn't at the bottom.
Y, X. It was Switch, wasn't it? B. B, and then A was at the east position. The
really?
3 o'clock.
Really?
I'm pretty certain.
That's possibly true. Ah, dude.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, because it follows the route of the NES controller, which is BA.
Huh. Same thing on the DS.
Yeah. Same
AB, XY.
Same trademarked layout.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's do our question here before we go into news. Question this week reads, hello, friends. It's the question of the week. What movie would you like to see made into a game, or what game would you like to see made into a movie? Personally, I would like to see a Tremors game starring anime Kevin Bacon. Thanks, Jen.
Is it anime Kevin Bacon? Oh my gosh.
It does say anime Kevin Bacon. Yeah.
Wow. That'd be good.
Any ideas, John?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I go with some of the better ones that I've heard. Fallout movie would be kind of cool, but what do you make that? Like
Book of Eli.
Yeah, that's what Book of Eli was.
Samurai only, Fallout.
Only better with like Braille Bible.
Yeah. Samurai. Fallout.
Cowboy, you know, I don't know. Red Dead Redemption movie might not be too terrible.
Yeah.
Western movies are often better than Western video games.
So. I would watch an Assassin's Creed real movie.
I would watch that too. Fuck yeah, I would watch that.
For sure.
Yeah.
Starring.
I would watch an Uncharted movie that didn't have anything to do with Marky Mark.
I don't really want to see an Uncharted movie though, because I feel like it's just Indiana Jones. Like Uncharted,
I know, right? It's like fucking.
I would watch an Assassin's Creed movie because like Assassin's Creed is crazy, and that would be a great like, movie.
Da Vinci Code nonsense,
dude, going into timelines and out of timelines.
Right, that'd be insane.
That'd be really good.
Yeah,
I would also like to see if that would be video game into movie. I would like to see movie into video game. I would like to see any Pauly Shore film.
Okay.
In a text adventure.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Get ye Weasel.
Okay.
Get ye Brandon Fraser as Encino Man.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Get ye Biodome. Feed pigs. Right name. With Combine.
Oh, man. I don't know about that.
Making cuppies. Say, making cuppies.
So weird. I can't. I don't know. Gosh.
Nothing.
I don't know. I feel like we said some pretty good ones. Yeah. Do you make a World of Warcraft movie like they've been talking about for several years?
I'm not interested. I can tell you that right there.
Like they spend lots of money on those CGI videos they have as it is. Fuck that.
I would watch a CGI movie about World of Warcraft.
Yeah. Have Pixar do it.
Yeah, sure.
Branch out a little.
Yep. Fabled story of the chicken.
Yeah.
Bird poop movie. Yeah. Fable movie.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Trying to think of some other good games that have crazy bizarre, like Metal Gear movie. You want to see that?
Not really. No, I'm good. Because no? that would have to be like 48 hours
what if
long.
What if it was Metal Gear Movie that you played?
What are you talking about?
I don't know.
Where, like, play how? Like on a game console or something?
I don't know.
How much would there be just movie?
I don't know. Well, see, that's the thing.
Would there be a monkey in a diaper?
Because, I mean, Metal Gear was moving so much into the department of, like, there is enough cutscene here that this is almost a movie that, in which you have parts that you play.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, like, can you just turn it over another notch to make it this movie in which I press buttons to interact with it slightly? Like, does... Here's the part in the movie where hit one on your remote to...
So the audience votes.
Right.
It's you're like, I pressed two. And like nobody else pressed it. I wonder if there's actually a two. I said go to the left, but he went to the right. It must be everybody else picking go to the right. Or does it actually exist?
Right. Exactly. So it's like, hit these selections if you want Snake to kill this person, tranquilize this person, or take a smoke break.
Always smoke break.
Always smoke
break. Yeah, I think Assassin's Creed would be a pretty cool movie. Pretty cool. DJ Hero movie.
I think that would DJ Hero movie.
Yeah.
It's called Tron.
Yeah. The Guitar Hero movie that was called Scott Pilgrim vs. the World.
Yeah. That's what that was. Fallout might not be bad, considering that doesn't have any real lore to go on, so you can't really jack that up too terribly.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, it's more of just settings and environments.
They have a good environment going on there.
What do you think it handled?
I don't know.
Gut reaction.
Dead Space movie.
Yeah.
They did that animated movie, which
I didn't.
Aside from the art styles,
didn't see it.
It was good. It shows everything leading up to.
How about another Pitch Black movie?
Or another Riddick movie. They already did three of those. Pitch Black is the only one that is.
No, there's Pitch Black, right?
There's Pitch Black.
First one. And then there was Chronicles of Riddick. And then there was like the animated movie with anime, right? There's been no final.
No, there were three Chronicle of Riddick movies.
Really? And
then there was.
Sure, you're not thinking of just like Babel AD or whatever
dude,
it is?
Babylon AD. I kind of wanted to see that.
There's really a third Riddick movie?
I swear to God there is.
I need to see that.
We can look this up later. But I thought of them, Pitch Black is probably the only one that's really got really anything going on.
I thought Pitch Black was good.
God, why can't I think of something that would be really, really good?
Movie into a game?
Yeah. Movie into game, I can't. I can never come up with that because we've seen the fruits that tree has to bear.
Right.
And they're getting better, but...
Well, you could always go the route of,
at this rate...
I want to see Street Fighter,
the movie, the game, into a movie. Yeah.
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 Colonel Sawada, the tales of Colonel Sawada.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that one.
Mm-hmm.
God. Yeah, that's the only way you go further with that is like you make the Street Fighter movie based on the Street Fighter game, and then you make the game based on that movie about the game, and then you make a movie based on that game about the movie.
Well, you've already got it. So there's Street Fighter the movie, and then Street Fighter the movie, the game. Now you just need to make a movie about Street Fighter
the game,
the movie game. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
one step away. It's almost there.
We need to just make that happen.
Let's talk about news, though.
Sure.
Ouch. So last week we were talking about how the PlayStation Portable 2 secret press conference was happening in Japan.
We did talk.
We were waiting for that to kind of have results come out. And this week we see that Sony has announced their next product called the NGP or PlayStation Portable 2. But they never called it that. It's got the front 5-inch OLED screen, and then which is touch sensitive, back panel touch sensitive. 6-axis controls, GPS, 3G ability.
Dual analog,
finally.
Crazy that took us,
Yeah.
6 years to get
there? Was it six?
2000.
Yeah, it was 2005, is it?
when did PSPs come out? 2005? Early 2005?
I don't know.
So, yeah, almost 6 years?
Yeah.
Good Lord. Well, by the time this thing launches, it'll be 6 years probably.
Well, that's the other thing. There's no date on it. They said look forward to it coming out in...
Spring?
December.
Oh. Crazy.
Or at the end of the like holiday season this year. But, you know, I expect it's going to be a E3 announcement, like, and it's going to be available November 29th in the USA for... Oh, also no price.
Yeah. We want to make inside bets on this right now?
Sure.
$300.
I would say $399.
You're going to say four?
Yep. I would say either... I could see $349. So this is the other thing is... supposedly, Sony Entertainment of Europe made mention that there is going to be... that 3G is not necessarily going to be part of it. So maybe they're going to play it like an iPhone or an iPod or something iPad, where you've got your 3G capable version and then you've got your bare bones. So you can do your bare bones one that has like just the most simple, you know, it doesn't have 3G. It doesn't have, internal hard drive, very large space, mm-hmm. and that one sells for $299 or, you know,
sure,
something like that. And then the high-end, full-blown, hardcore model is, you know, $400, $399 or something like that. That's one thing that's speculated to be a possibility. The other thing that's really, really interesting about PlayStation Portable or NGP is it has... portability, not portability in terms of carryability. You can take a PlayStation 3 quality game and port it to the PlayStation Portable.
Oh, is that what that stuff is?
So Kojima was at the press con or at this event, and he was saying like you could run Metal Gear Solid 4 on it. You're going to be running it half the frames, so it was running at like 28 frames per second, but still uses all the assets.
I was gonna say, like, how much of Metal Gear Solid 4 do you fit on?
Yeah, well, yeah. So like, this is the other thing, like, is
a fifth of it.
Cloud saving is supposed to be what solves that issue. Is, you know, you're saving your thing to a wireless, like, non-internal hard drive sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then what goes along with that is the ideal sort of technological jump is you play Metal Gear Solid 4 on your PlayStation 3 at home, and then you...
Oh, like, so that thing that was supposed to exist with the PSP 3000?
Mm-hmm.
When PS3s came out?
No, but for real, like, you...
Right, for
like,
reals. Other than just layer.
Yeah, you play your game, you save it, and then you walk out of the house and you pull your save off and you play the exact same game.
Right.
Not just mini games, not just like Fable Pug games.
Well, like before, it was like they had that idea with, and it was started when the PS3s came out, where it's like you could do this thing where it's like, oh, you want to continue playing Lair, but you have to go out of the house for some crazy ass reason. We'll take your PSP with you, and you can play Lair on your PSP at limited functionality. And it's like, oh, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And Lair is the only game that supported that.
I didn't play Lair.
Lair is a shitty game.
Yeah. But yeah, that's supposed to be for real now.
Well, that would be fantastic.
They had some
that did sound like a really cool concept for something. It's just like, yeah, I totally want to take my console games on the go with me.
Uh-huh. So, I would love to do that. Like, I would like to play like the Assassin's Creed Brotherhood training missions on the go,
yeah,
and be able to play the real game at home, and, you know, but not just be stuck, like, be bound to that. You mm-hmm. know, so I don't know. I think
right.
that's totally
cool. Right. Because I mean, it's like that makes it so much more, I don't know, just makes it easier for me to say if I want to go somewhere, but I really feel like I want to also be playing these games on an airplane or in a car ride,
mm-hmm.
what have you. And I have my addiction that is so strong that I need to continue to play these games.
Well, I also feel like there's some vocal contention saying, like, why do people want to play portable game or like real games on a portable device? And I submit that that was the original desire with portable games, like with the Game Boy.
Right.
It wasn't like, I want to play this game that was bite-sized and fun games, right. And what portable gaming has been realized into. It's like, I want to play Street Fighter on my
3DS.
Well, not even 3DS. Like, I want to play it on my Game Boy. Like, right. That's, or I want to play Mortal Kombat on my Sega Nomad. Like, I want to be able to do that. And I want to play the real game on the go.
Right.
But I think that was lost over time.
And it was lost. And I always used to tell people that we're getting PSPs of just like, you know, I just don't think PSPs are there where it's like, I understand what they're trying to do of like, let's make this really strong, robust, portable system. But when you're releasing portable games that are at lesser quality than the exact same game that I could get for the console,
mm-hmm.
why would I want it for the portable? But if the portable can match it in both gameplay and in, or at least come close to it in quality,
sure,
then I may want to.
Yeah.
And the one thing that was holding me back from PSP was the dual analog thing. I'm like, mm-hmm. why do I want to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I want to play like a third of the game? It seems so restricted.
Yeah. I see what you mean.
I think these new portable handhelds are, these handheld gaming devices are becoming better.
Oh, for sure.
I think they're becoming a lot more interesting,
uh-huh.
and less of that bite-sized stuff.
I'm actually a lot more interested in the NGP over the 3DS now. Like,
really?
Oh, yeah. Like, listening to people's reports about the 3DS and actually getting to use it and play with it, like, it comes across as just, like, the next step in
Game Boy.
In Game Boy, but not, like, the 3D is the game changer. Like, it's sort of mm-hmm. the novelty that draws you in, and then you're like, well, actually, this is just, like, a way more... Yeah. This is a GameCube instead of an N64.
From what I've understood is that, like, this is more like, it seems to me a lot of the really, really cool things about the 3DS have nothing to do with the 3D
mm-hmm.
and have more to do with the VR stuff that they have, or the AR stuff they have that's going on. I think that stuff sounds really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, being able to interact with things that are...
I want to be able to take a picture of my, a 3D picture of my room and then have my Nintendogs plus cats
play in
3D room. 3D space.
Yes.
That would be cool.
Yes. Agreed. I want to put this card down on a table and shoot at a dragon that comes out of the card.
I don't really want to do that.
Around the dragon.
That one is less appealing for me.
But I think is where you can make that be something entertaining.
Right.
As opposed to the 3D where it's just like I wonder how much of your fan base you alienate by making this device 3D. Just because,
I don't think you're gonna alienate a lot with the Switch on it. Like, you can turn right. it down to 2D, well, okay, and then it runs again at full frames per second.
Okay, so like, right, that's true. But at this point, like, you can't make a game that hinders on 3D.
Right, not fan base. You're talking right. your developers, like people who are making this game now have to think, okay, I'm gonna make a game that just has gimmick 3D. Like, we need to go through the Final Destination movie period of people just throwing hatchets at the screen.
So all the fireball comes out of the screen.
Yeah, and
that's cool, but it's like okay, like you can't design a puzzle game where you use that 3D
mm-hmm.
in the gameplay, because then not everybody can play that.
Right.
Like, say you have patches that can, like, say Sagat wants to play Super Street Fighter 3D.
Yeah.
He cannot.
Right.
Because he has one eye.
Sure.
He doesn't
see or it some yet. People just don't can't see it like yeah just can't I
mean
focus on
everybody
it.
Has different eyes, and I mean that's why that slider is built in there,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time that slider is also the same reason that you just straight up can't make that part of the reality of making games for 3D.
Yeah, like, are we going through this six axis phase of 3D where it's like it's just there to be there, and we don't really know what to do with it? Like, it seems like that's the case. And the PSP, or gosh, the NGP seems to have a lot more things going for it in terms of like potential and mm-hmm. upping the gaming experience instead of just 3D hot buzzword.
Yeah. The only thing that I sit, that I look at when I see the NGP though is like, I really want that to fit well in my hand. I really hope that fits
probably
well.
Won't.
It probably won't. No. That's probably going to make me want to cry every time I hold it. But no, it definitely looks impressive. It definitely looks impressive. I think with the 3G networking stuff, I think like what you were saying, where there's one that does and doesn't have the 3G stuff. I really hope you don't have to pay additionally for that service.
Yeah, I wonder how that's going to happen.
Because like things like the Kindle and the Nook, like the e-reader book right. things, they have those services, but you don't pay for them.
Right.
You pay the initial fee, and then you, because you spent the extra $50, now you can download your stuff wherever you are,
mm-hmm.
no matter what.
Right, and then that you're also going through a 3G network, so you're not crunching massive amounts of data. Like mm-hmm. you're sending, you know, a couple megs here and there.
The only thing that I could envision that 3G network would be valuable for, though, is like accessing PlayStation Network and
right.
downloading games or.
But that would be so big. Like that would be such a big download over a 3G network. It would take forever.
You think?
Like a 2 gig game.
2 gigs
on a 3G network.
Yeah.
You'd be there for hours.
Really? You think so?
Oh yeah. I think what it's going to be there for is...
I mean, PlayStation, you're already there for hours downloading shit anyway.
Right, but imagine if you had to do that, like, on the go.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I understand
using
it.
Using a 3G network, which yeah. sucks. I'm thinking it's going to be for PSN stuff.
Like
friends lists. Like, you'll okay. always have your friends list up, like, up and available. You always have trophies syncing. Supposedly, there's also supposed to be another layer involved. That goes like it's you're connected to this network of friends who are playing games beyond. It's like it's another PlayStation network that you're running through, basically. So you can.
What if it could just sync to your PlayStation Network account? Just wholly like.
But well, you're gonna have your PlayStation account, but it's like what they're also going to have is this other PSN that's running that tracks everybody who's playing a game, and it's like, oh, this person just finished this game, this person just scored this in this game. Like, it's game specific. It's not just trophies. It'll be like, you know, your friend, it's not just a list that says so and so is playing this right now. It's like so and so is playing this right now and just got this score.
Okay.
Sort of like the auto log from Hot Pursuit, Need for Speed Hot Pursuit.
That still sounds a little I don't know, maybe
the other
like there's two, like, I mean, unless that's wholly integrated with just PlayStation Network in general, that sounds like do I only see those things if I'm on right. like NP or NGP
mm-hmm.
and then not my PS3? Like, I just think if you're gonna go that road, you just do an entire update for the PSN as a service.
Yeah, but I'm suspecting it's gonna be like the high-end people who buy into the 3G will have access to that network, and then if you just sure. get your regular PSP or NGP, then you will have your...
Do they just make it part of PlayStation Plus?
Yeah, basically like that. Like, you just then get your... Oh, man. What if you... Yeah, good point. What if your PlayStation Plus is just your 3D data coverage fees, then...
Yeah, you're crazy crap.
Yeah.
Because they got to find a way to make PlayStation Plus worth something to me, and that might be the way to do it. Might.
Nope.
Might be.
Nope.
I don't know. It depends on what I
get with that. The other rumor for the 3G network is going to be automatic check-ins for
it's like forced
piracy.
Oh, okay.
No, piracy blocking. So it'll be like, are you using a legitimately firmwared PSP before you start playing this game? No, then perhaps you should find a Wi-Fi and update.
That's cool. I mean,
I'm fine with that.
I suppose it's also a good thing to have for, like, you know, if it supports GPS, like it says,
mm-hmm.
it's good stuff to have, too. I'm kind of interested in that.
Right. You wouldn't want just GPS. So you're like, oh, well, okay, so here's the other
Sony
thing.
Sony can find me no matter where I am.
It's going to have this kind of like the Bark mode, Street Pass mode the 3DS is going to have.
Sure.
It's going to have something similar to that where... It uses your GPS to track the areas that you've been around with your PS, your NGP.
I'm and sorry, then, I just had a major epiphany. Continue.
Okay, I'll wrap this up quick. So it'll track the areas you've been in with your NGP, and then it will display other people who have an NGP in that area and what games they're playing. Mm-hmm. That's kind of cool.
So on certain on smartphones with apps, they have these stupid zombie survival games, mm-hmm. where it essentially will put the map of your location on a screen, uh-huh. and then it'll have little red dots that show, well, the zombies are here, you should run this way. And so it can be kind of this cool little social thing that you do with a couple of friends when you're drunk, mm-hmm. and you want to be, oh, we're all going to look at the screen, the imaginary zombies are to our right, so we need to move left. Uh-huh. Ah. Now, how cool would it be if your GPS navigation for your NGP, I want to call it MPG for some reason, could use the camera involved so that it knows where you are and it is also putting those zombies on your screen.
Oh, and you so can, you're...
So you look like a jackass piloting yourself around these zombies that are actually not on screen.
So you're taking it to the next level of it.
Of like the... actually showing me something that's in reality, but not in reality.
There was that DS game where it would have ghosts, like you would mm-hmm. use the camera to view things. And
something
it would...
was a Z or something.
Phantom or... Busters. I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And
that was kind of cool.
Yeah, it would show like ghosts in the... Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. But I feel like, it could be cool. Like so, or games just like that, games that are community driven, around your GPS location.
It could be cool.
Could be kind of cool.
I don't think a lot of people though want to be seen walking around with their PSP or their NGP.
We're not there yet. We're not there yet. If we lived in Japan, maybe.
I think there would be even a less possibility
in Japan. No.
Oh yeah, man. If you were walking on the street with your PSP out in front of you, you'd be like
bumping into people like crazy.
To jail. Forever. You would go to culture jail. They would say no. You can't. You have to wear this hat of shame for a while.
Inappropriate.
Yep. Here's the shame hat. Don't do that again.
What's the shame hat shaped like?
A thumb pointing down.
Oh. Okay.
I don't know.
We'll draw a sketch up for later.
So that's pretty much all the details I've... Oh, the other thing, the other big thing I've heard about it that wasn't released in their specs was PSP games. Anything you've downloaded will now be able to transfer to your NGP. Any game you own will be able to transfer to your NGP.
But that was also a good...
So the Go solution that never happened has actually happened, and you can... get a digital copy for free now.
Sweet.
Somebody said there is an exchange program that does exist. It just hasn't been launched. So take that as you will. That comes from another journalist source. So
okay.
Yeah.
That's up to Sony at this point. Yeah. Whether or not they want to give a crap.
Yeah. So I'm thinking
they got your money. They'll do what they want with it.
Yeah. E3 will be the price, date, and more details on all that stuff.
I know Nintendo announced that you'll be able to get all of your downloaded stuff from
DSiWare,
the DSiWare shop, to the eShop.
To the eShop, yep.
Which is cool because
eShop's not supposed to launch until, was it May?
Now, if I have a DSi and they come out with the eShop, are they different in a way?
I think they are.
Are they?
Because eShop is going to be specific to the 3DS, like with Game Boy games that have 3D mm-hmm. upgrades, and Game Boy Advance games.
This is where they'll start to include Game Boy games.
Yep.
Game Boy Advance or?
Both, Game Boy and Game Boy Advance.
Cool. I want to get my Metroid Fusion on.
There you go. Oh, yeah.
I do own Metroid Fusion.
Why don't you just play it?
Because I don't have a Game Boy Advance.
Oh. Go pick up an SP or something.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. They're cheap. They're nice. Metroid Fusion was awesome.
It was awesome. I love that game.
Scary, bizarro Samus.
I think that's really all we have to talk about, unless you can think of any other big news items. There's some games announced here and there.
There were games announced?
Like, teased.
Oh. Nothing too exciting, though.
Yeah, nothing we really need to make mention of. The videos are on our site. Our Game of the Year list is finally written and up. Mm-hmm. Both part 1 and 2, they're on the news section, so go read them there. Leave comments. The other thing we could talk about is... I don't know. I forgot what I was going to say. Nothing. All right. Well, if there's nothing else to talk about, we should just wrap it up.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I can't think of anything else to talk about.
I don't want to sit here pondering in silence.
Ponder, ponder, ponder. Think, think, think. Oh, still only one set of shoulder buttons on the jobby.
Yep. Still only except one set of shoulder buttons.
That little diddle pad on the back.
Yeah. I think since it's February, we should talk about new games coming out this month.
Oh, okay. Sure.
We'll just cover all the big ones right now. Stacking coming out, what is it, next week?
Oh, damn it.
For Xbox and PSN.
Super stoked about that.
Yes.
Super stoked.
Yep. You can also buy Russian nesting dolls from a Double Fine's website that are stacking themed if for 50 some odd dollars if you so choose.
Oh, wait. Is it like a pack of them?
Yeah. Well, they come in a nested doll.
Oh, okay. So I suppose that's fair. Is it the family? Is it
just No. It's, I saw a picture of it. It's four different dolls.
Oh, I see.
I think you might get the kid as the bottom doll, though.
Oh, you'd have to. That would make sense,
right? You don't know Jack coming out that same day.
Isn't that... That's not already out?
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
I do kind of want to play that.
Oh, I love You Don't Know Jack.
I do kind of want to play that. It's been a while.
You're going to get screwed.
Well, Griff is really good at...
You press the S button for screw.
What?
Then they have to answer the question.
Oh.
You know, no. I love...
Like, I never played on PC.
I've got my copy right here.
I never played
in
on
the drawer.
PC. I only played this on PS1.
Ah, I never played it on the console before.
Yeah, I only played it on PS1.
What else do we have? Nah.
Mario nothing. Sports Mix?
Not something we need. Marvel vs. Capcom coming out on February 15th. Marvel's Capcom 3.
Stoked for that too, in a weird way.
Secret Galactus boss.
Yeah,
maybe.
Weed.
Don't really know. I think that's there's a Tactics Ogre. Let's Cling Together. If people are into that for PSP. Oh yeah, Bulletstorm. Yeah, hell yeah,
that's a thing.
And Killzone 3.
What? Really? Yeah.
February 22. Both of those.
How did I
games.
Forget that game was coming out? Huh.
Yeah, and
Killzone
3.
Too. Maybe I'll play that. I think that I have that queued up.
I do too. Power. I'm gonna see if I can knife my way through the entire game just like it did Killzone 2.
What, dude? I don't know. I did not care for Killzone 2. I played like an hour of that game and I was like, well, I'm taking this back.
Mm-hmm. I finished it. You can knife your way through it.
Or can you?
Yep. Really? Except for the last fight.
Insane.
Yeah, so I think we'll wrap it up there. Boss Barrel Radio signing off. John and Griff, see you later. If you want to send us an email, bbr@bossbarrel.com is the email address. There's a link on the site where you're listening to this or found this. Check out our news, read our Game of the Year lists. Look forward to more feature videos and come up with a good name for it, please, somebody.
Yeah, somebody give us help, because all I'm calling them are feature videos.
Right. And so we talked about it last week, playing through Bulletstorm. We'll come up with something else to play through. Maybe we'll somehow figure out
do some Marvel versus
how
Capcom.
To do that, or maybe we'll somehow do Catherine, you know? Maybe we will somehow figure out how to re-download
that. We'll learn Japanese.
See if I can drag my... Yeah, we'll come up with something to do. At least, you know, we'll try and do for two videos this month.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, sounds good. Counting the one we already did, or
no, that was last month.
Oh, that's right. I keep forgetting it's February.
It is February. Welcome to Boss Battle Radio.
Maybe for Catherine, we can hook up one of those translator apps, and we can just have the words in Catherine, like when it comes out of the TV.
Oh,
on the phone, it translates it back to us.
I bet that would be really good.
I think it'll be great.
I think that would be get some
next,
really good stuff.
Next thing we do now.
Yeah. So this is the end of the episode. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye.